In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. We are concluding a part of the Bible, of the Gospel of Mark, that I would just like to mention briefly to illustrate how many times we don't get the message of the Bible because we extract little pieces. If you remember, we've been looking at this story of Mark. Mark has been showcasing three times that Jesus announces his passion and resurrection. The disciples don't get it, and he has to explain to them, what does it mean to follow him? Remember that? We've been looking, I think, for about 4 or 5 weeks already. So it's been the whole 8 to 10 chapters in Mark has been explaining that. What does it mean to be a disciple, a follower of Christ? And disciples not getting it at all, and Jesus having to explain over and over and over. And it's interesting to know that this story, these three announcements of his passion, are bookended by two stories of miracles of blind people getting sight. So today's gospel of the miracle of the blind man receiving sight, it is more than that. It is more than the focus of a wow, look at that. It is a symbol of being blind. So I just wanted to point that out. And today, this is the end of this story. We end this gospel by saying the man recovered his sight and followed them on the way. And the way was an old term in the Bible to describe Christians. We were not called Christians. We were part of the Jewish community, and we were called the way. So it ends this gospel story precisely saying, this is what it means to follow me, to follow the way. So we see today a beautiful story of Bartimaeus, a man who is sitting by the roadside. He is blind. He is begging. He is rejected, discarded. He is worthless in the eyesight of many people. And I just want to point out a little gesture that some of you might not have noticed. He does something when Jesus calls him. He jumps up and throws his cloak. Why does he do that? Did you notice? Says, throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Many people have said, why? What does that mean? One is a practical thing. Simply, it was something in his way, and he just needed to get to Jesus. It's a practical matter. And unencumbering himself of that which impedes his access to Jesus. And Jesus is there, and before they shush him again, as the disciples were shutting him down, he says, I better get quickly to Jesus before they throw me off again. So it's a practical matter, just access to Jesus. But there's another, a more symbolic possible meaning of this gesture. And some scholars say that what this man did was, as a beggar, let me sit down, let me see if I can get back up. So his cloak would be something like that. So he had it by the roadside, and you imagine what it was used for. Huh? Yeah. Is a man who is probably an untouchable, worthless, and people would just throw money at him. So he had his cloak out there to collect. So imagine at the end of the day, he would just pack it up and leave. So his money would be, I get up. His money was inside his cloak. So now you understand what it could have meant. This man who has the tool of what he gains is money. It's all he has. He jumps up and leaves it behind. At 8 o'clock, we were saying, that is to have faith. Someone who is willing to leave behind all that he knows, his security, to leave behind his livelihood, not knowing what was happening. He did not know he would be healed. He did not know he would recover his sight, whatever it is. He knew. He did not know. And out, risking it all, stood up, left his cloak behind, and came to Jesus. Mimi Anderson and Lori Oakes have asked me to focus today on stewardship. And as we yearly do every around this time of the year, we talk about our stewardship. And I know some of you say, oh my God, again. But it's an important thing. Money. And money is something we don't like to talk in church. Money is a dirty thing, like sex and politics and religion. Something we don't, polite society, we don't talk about it. But the reality, it is there. Money is part of our being. And as we talk about stewardship, and Lori and Mimi are going to be sending, you'll be receiving a letter and a pledge card for 2019. It is an invitation to look at our own stewardship of our own resources and our generosity to our community of faith here at Emmanuel. And the invitation is to look at it, and my invitation is to look at it in two ways. The practical way, just like the Bartimaeus, just throwing off his cloak just to get to Jesus. There is the practical thing. I wish Opalco didn't bill us for the light. I wish I could work for free, and Marianne could work for free, and Lisa, and Karen, and right? But we don't have that facility, or that we'd have to say, Timberline, can you repair the roof for free? It would be awesome, but our world is not like that. We need money. And it's just a practical way. So your generosity makes us, in our mission, continue to go. We would like to dispense of money, but the reality is we need. And your generosity makes it possible for us to continue serving and giving of ourselves. You'll be receiving a pledge card that helps us organize our next year. Depending on what is promised, we can know what we can spend. Many people have asked me, do I need to sign it? I made a pledge card 5 years ago. The reality is we don't assume it's the same thing. I mean, we don't want to assume. So that's why every year there's a new pledge card. Some people say, do I need to write it? If you don't write it, we don't count it. So if no one sends a pledge card, we assume it's zero. So we have to make the adjustments for zero, right? So that is why the pledge cards is a way. It's not the most perfect way. It could be done some other way, maybe. But this is how we work it out. And the next thing is how much. And it's a big, I remember, and I'm not going to tell you how much. It's out of your conscience. It's you and God. But I remember my teacher was Hugh. I remember when I left the Catholic Church as a Roman Catholic priest, I wasn't used to earn money. So I left the church. They gave me $5,000. That's all I had. And I was looking for a job. And I didn't have a house in New York City. It's expensive. And I remember getting my first paycheck. I was working at a HIV/AIDS clinic. And as you can imagine, the pay was not too good. So I get my first paycheck. And Hugh says to me, okay, so you're going to take off 10% and give it to your church. He says, what? That's after taxes or before taxes? And I can tell you, I honestly thought, this is crazy. I mean, I don't have anything. And for me, more than the amount, it's not that important, it was the practice. And you helped me, coming from a medical family, we didn't like to talk about money, it's like church. My grandfather, I remember seeing a TV show, and there was a doctor announcing his practice. And my grandfather, who was a doctor, he was abhorred. My God, where have we come to? Doctors announcing like ads. That is, for him, it was unheard of. You shouldn't talk about money. And in a sense, I appreciate it, but in reality, it's not the world we live in. So Hugh was the one who taught me, let's talk about money. Let's talk about generosity. Let's talk, why are you afraid, Berto? Why are you afraid? Why are you holding? What is this mentality of scarcity? Be generous. And he challenged me to do it. And I confess, it was not an easy thing for me to do. What I ask you is just in your prayer. I don't know the amounts, just to be clear. I never know what people give. Lisa doesn't know. Karen doesn't know. The wardens doesn't know. The vestry does not know. The only people who know are the treasurers and our bookkeeper. Those are the only people. And I don't want to know. And I'm not told. So it's you and God. And as you know, we depend on your generosity. But I would like to point out more than the practical, the more symbolic, as Hugh challenged me, of being generous with my tithing, my first check. Like Bartimaeus, leaving and leaping and leaving behind his cloak is more than just simply money. It is trusting. It is moving forward, trusting in God's mercy. Money, my therapist always, when I get tangled with money, my therapist tells me, better to remember, money is energy. Money is more than just the dollars and cents. Money is symbolic. When I get upset or fearful or anxious about money, it's more than money usually. It's something else in the bottom. And it's always an invitation, what is it? What is going down there that money is making me uncomfortable? And usually it's more than simply the bills. It's something more. And usually it is something spiritual. A false sense of security, a scarcity mentality, attachment to money, fear, etc. And I want to look at this man, Bartimaeus, and this man who had nothing just jumped out and left everything behind to follow Jesus. I would like to share an example. I want to thank Eric for inviting me to talk about it. A sample of stewardship. It has nothing to do directly about money, but it is stewardship. In 1998, I was living in Spain. I was studying. And I remember reading about the death of this young man, Matthew Shepard. You remember his story. And it's something that really shook to me to the core. As a young priest, closeted gay man, out to very few people, it was very, very hard for me to listen to that story. The horror simply of the brutality of what happened, this young man being left to die, tied to a posting, was a horrible situation. And that thing really, really shook me. And it shook me to the point and said, Berto, what are you doing with your life? You're safely protected by the church that gives you everything, but it is honest to remain silent. It is honest just to live your life like nothing has happened. And that story, that event, really shook me to the ground and says, I can't be a hypocrite. I need to stand up and do something with my life. If people are being killed and I'm protected because I'm just simply hiding behind, I need to step out and talk. And that was the beginning of my own journey of coming out to my family, my friends, and eventually having to leave the Roman Catholic priesthood, which was a very scary thing. And I felt a little bit like Bartimaeus. Probably I didn't jump. It was a lot of fear, but leaving behind. And for me, that meant an act of stewardship. Coming here in 2013, Hugh and I were traveling to Orcas, not thinking we were going to live here. It was just house-sitting. We had quit our jobs, house-sitting up there in Buck Mountain, taking some time off, having quit our jobs in New York, trying to find out what is our next step in our lives. I took a detour just by myself. Hugh had to travel directly to visit his family in Denver. And I took a detour. I was in the Badlands in a photography workshop, and I went to the place Matthew Shepard was found. I remember it was hard to find. It's a private land. I was kicked out of it. But I just entered. It's a big expanse, and I just wept there. And it was a very profound moment that reminded me of the risk when we left New York, the risk of leaving everything behind and not knowing what was next. So in memory of Matthew Shepard, who this week was interred in the National Cathedral, Matthew Shepard was an Episcopalian. He was an acolyte in an Episcopal church. And his family, after 20 years, decided that the best place to leave his remains to rest. They had not left his remains because they were afraid of vandalism, so much hatred. So they decided it was time, and they decided to leave his remains at the National Cathedral, the Episcopal Church in Washington, as a safe space, which I feel very proud that we can provide that safe space for his family. Let us pray. Gracious one, like Bartimaeus, we come with fears and trembling in our hearts as we see our world convulsed by so much hatred, ignorance, lies, and falsehood, the desire to hate each other. We come with a desire to be healed so that our eyes may be opened, that we may jump in courage, leaving things behind to be able to be your followers and your disciples. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.